Last week, the sugya we discussed was Melchama and Shabbos. And I very much hoped last week that this week peace will return to our beloved Eretz HaKodesh. But it was not to be. And obviously, Min HaShemayim, we are still fighting. And war is still raging. So the sugya we will be discussing today is an additional sugya of war and peace. A very relevant sugya. Halacha lemaisa, it is only the soldiers on the field and those that have to make the decisions. But it's a question the entire world asks and they are all grappling with. The question of civilian casualties. So the anti-Semites, Sioni Yisrael in the United Nations and wherever there may be, attack Israel for causing civilian casualties. But our enemies are barbarians and they take advantage of the Midas HaRachamim of the Jewish people. No army in the world is as careful and as humane as the Israeli army. But the Hamas deliberately, intentionally, puts women and children in harm's way as a human shield. And I've been asked many times, what is Hashkofes HaTorah? What is the proper Hashkof and what is the Halach? Tovshin Samach Vav, in a previous war, I was asked by an Israeli diplomat, a person working in the foreign office, Mislad Achutz, and he was himself confused and he asked me to give him a clarity, what is the Hashkofes HaTorah regarding civilian casualties? So what is a soldier or a military unit supposed to do when the Hamas is firing out of a hospital, out of a school, out of a residential building? Or when soldiers are hiding under the backs of women and children? I wrote about this in Mincha Soshel and I will go over it in today's shiur. So one approach would be, judging by the standard of general halachos, general rules, what's the din of a indirect roidef? Would those civilians have a din of roidef? Because in a way, they are shielding terrorists. They are shielding murderers. So in an indirect way, they are jeopardizing our lives. Would that justify their destruction, taking their lives? Roidef al yedei groma is a discussion in later achroinim. And when I quote Divrei Yecheskel and learn this, I do not mean the Rebbe of Shineve, but Rabbi Yecheskel Burstein, one of the great Rosh Hashivas 100 years ago. And they both argue that Roidef al yedei groma is still a Roidef. Because killing a Roidef is not an Oynesh. If it would be punishment, Harotzeach al yedei groma, is over and is a diuraisa, but he's not chayev mises beisdin. That is clearance and hedrin of ayin ches in the sugi of mitzamtze. However, killing a roidev is not punishment. It's not an oynish. It is salvaging and saving a life, and therefore, any person that's putting another one's life into jeopardy, even ali de groma, mutar lahatziloi benafsho. So maybe, in accordance to this clear opinion, even though civilians would have a din of a roidef, but I don't really think so. A roidef al yedei groma is an intentional roidef. At least it's bekum va'asei. But if Hamas hides behind the backs of civilians, and those civilians have no other way, they can't get out of it. So if we would know that they are participating out of free will, I definitely would say that's a roidef al yedei groma. But that's not always the situation. And therefore, I don't think it would be right to judge all the civilian population or the ill in a hospital as roidef al yedei grov. Maybe a slightly different interpretation. There's a tremendous chiddush in the Chazon Ish, Sanhedrin Samachof A. The Chazon Ish describes a theoretical situation, which in the times of Chazon Ish was totally theoretical. There is a chetz, or an arrow, or a spear, going in a certain direction, a bomb. If we don't intervene, many people will be killed. We could intervene and turn it away in another direction. But even in that other direction, there are people that will be killed, but they are fewer. Do we intervene, changing the trajectory of that bomb, of that missile, saving the many, destroying the few? Oh, we say Sheval Taisa Odif. L'chayre, that's a sugi and tumis, perik ches, Mishne Yud Beis, especially in Yerushalmi. If goyim demand from a group of people, give us one of you, and we'll kill him. If not, we'll kill you all. We do not cooperate. We do not give the one to save the many. Kal v'chayim eratvorim. How could we turn away this bomb, killing the few to save the many? Those few were in no danger. In Masechet Trumas, the individual wasn't the same sakon as all the others. Nevertheless, the Chazon Ish says we do turn that arrow. We do turn away the bomb. And that's a chiddush which only the Chazon Ish could say. Only the Chazon Ish? No. Maybe also the Rashba and the Ramban. But from the Rashba and the Ramban till the Chazon Ish, I don't think anybody would dare to say. I don't think anybody could say. The Chazon Ish differentiates giving out a person to murderers. They should kill him. It's a maisa achzori. We do not kill the individual to save the many. Turning away the bomb is a maisa rachmoni. Its basic essence is saving and not destroying, salvaging and not killing. See, even though we know with definity, we know it is clear that we will be causing the death of the few, that is what we should do to save the many. Because the act, by its very essence, is atzola and not harig. I brought a great raya to the Chazon Ish from the Pnei Yehoshua, and that obviously contradicts what I said before about the Ramban and the Rashi. The Pnei Yeshua tells a story about Sichas Chulin Shel Talmid HaChamim Tzrich and Talmud. In the introduction to the magnificent Sefer Pnei Yeshua, the Pnei Yeshua writes, what brought him to print a Sefer, to publish a Sefer? And he describes an earthquake that was in his city, or maybe a fire. I don't remember. I'm in the car right now, so I can't check. But the Pnei Yeshua describes a tragedy. Many buildings imploded, and there were many that were trapped under the ruins. And people came to the rescue, and they cleared away the rubble. And the Pnei Yeshua said the rescuers killed people. Because as we know, when you clear away rocks and concrete slabs, sometimes you kill people. However, there was no other way, writes the Pnei Yeshua, and their kavana was to save as many as they could, and therefore it was justified. This is exactly the situation the Chazon Ish describes. They came to rescue, but when you clear away big slabs of concrete, sometimes you kill people directly. But the kavana was to save, and they did save, and therefore that is totally justified. Well, the Chazon Ish describes a theoretical situation. 70 years ago, that was theory. Today, it is part of our arsenal. And there are missiles, especially anti-tank missiles, in which you control the trajectory and the direction till impact. So if you send a missile, you could turn it away. Reb David Frankel is one of the prominent Talmidim of the Chazon Ish, and the way he tells it, it actually was a Maaseh Shehayu. A person was driving a truck and the brakes were lost. He couldn't control the brakes, he couldn't stop the truck. If the truck would just continue on its present trajectory, many people would be killed. He could turn the steering wheel. That did work. And if he turns the truck to the side, there are fewer people. What should he do? So the driver turned the truck to the side, and he survived the crash. And then he came to the Chazon Ish to ask whether he needs tikkuni tshuva. And the Chazon Ish said, you did the right thing. Does this have any kesher with our sugya? I don't think so. But on first thought, maybe yes. We're trying to save as many Jews as we can. We're trying to save ours, our warriors, our soldiers. In an act of salvation, even if you kill innocent people, there's no other way about it. But I don't think so. Shooting with intention to kill is a masa hariga. It is mutar, because a bola hargach huashkim lahargoy, but nevertheless, it's a maisa hariga. It is destroying. It is not a maisa rachmoni of saving. And therefore, I do not think that this would be basis enough to explain the heter of directly destroying the lives of individuals. However, I think our shaila is not dependent on general rules of roidef and hatzolos and nefesh, but rather dinei melchama. And dinei melchama have their own set of rules. So there are two interesting passages in the Maharal and Parshas Vayishlach. And maybe these passages could be a source to solve our dilemma. Vayiro Yaakov miyoid v'yeitzaloi. When Yaakov approaches his fateful rendezvous with Esav, Yaakov is afraid. Vayiro Yaakov miyoid v'yeitzaloi. Rashi brings from Chazal. Vayiro Yaakov miyoid shema yahareg v'yeitzaloi shema yaharog. He was afraid he might get killed. He was disturbed because he might kill. The Mizrahi and the Maharal and Gurariya, the two most important commentaries of Rashi al Torah, both ask the same question. We could simply understand why he was afraid to get killed. Kol asher lo yitein ba'ad nafshoi. But why was he disturbed that he might have to kill? Abu lahorgo huashkim lahorgo. They offer two different interpretations which have a common denominator. According to the Maharal, Yaakov was afraid. He cannot kill him. Yaakov was afraid maybe he wouldn't have the proper judgment. Oh, no. The Maharal says Yaakov was afraid there was a cab coming against him, a platoon. If a fight would develop, if Doiren Vitfilo would be in vain and Yaakov would be out, find himself fighting Esav, he will have to shoot, he will have to fight, and maybe he will be killing innocent people who had no intention of killing him. So the Maharal says, even though Yaakov did no Aveira, if he would kill those people, it would be beheta. Because how could he know whether they're out to kill him or not? But nevertheless, it would be an Avera B'shoigeg. So obviously, according to this Maharal, there is no heter of killing civilians, innocent civilians, in times of war. In the Hemtach of the Parsha, when Shimon v'Levi destroy all inhabitants, all the residents of Shechem, the Maharal says, what was their heter? And he writes a big yesoid and a big hit. In a war between one nation and the other, one people and the other, there are different rules. And the enemy is the entire nation. The entire people is the enemy, the foe. And therefore, the Maral says, an army has the right to destroy even civilians. V'yaf al gaf shayu harbe shelo asu davar. Ein ze chiluk, even shayu ba'ota uma shasu ra lahem. V'chein hem kol ha'melchamot. I just want to make a comment. Until not long ago, that was the accepted norm. That was considered ethical conduct in time of war. The Allies in World War II not only destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, killing close to 200,000 innocent Japanese citizens, the Americans bombed Dresden, a German city, with incendiary bombs, and in one night 40,000 people burned to death. That wasn't the Wehrmacht, that wasn't the SS, German civilians. In one bombing, 40,000 people perished in Dresden. That was accepted practice once upon a time, not only 1,000 years ago, not only 500 years ago in the time of the Maharal, even in World War II. Nations were waged in mortal combat. Peoples fought each other. And the entire nation was considered friend or foe. According to the Maharal, that is halachic principle. But obviously, L'chayra the Maral contradicts himself. So what was Yaakov's problem in killing the Machna of Esav? I could offer three different tirutzim, three different interpretations. Well, yes, it was permissible, but Yaakov the Tzaddik, Yaakov with his heart full of mercy, he was disturbed. He was disturbed that he might have to kill innocent people. Yes, halachically it would be permissible, but Yaakov is far more than basic halach. Number two, when peoples fight each other, yes, the people, the nation, they are the enemy. But Yaakov and Esav were brothers. This was a rift and a melchama within the family, not between one nation and another, and therefore, in this situation, there is no hetter to kill civilians. But I really have a feeling, which is different than Maharal, somewhat of a compromise. Yes, destroying individuals would be permissible, but only when there is no other option. And by abstaining from hurting individuals, you will be putting your own into grave danger and jeopardy. And therefore, yes, when there's no other option, when there's no other way, when the enemy hides in hospitals and in schools, behind the backs of women and children, we need to fight. And in that case, the responsibility rests entirely on the shoulders of those barbarians. However, inasmuch as we can, we need to be extremely careful not to hurt innocent civilians. And therefore, there is no stira. Yaakov is angry at Shimon Belevi. Yaakov is very unhappy with what they did. Shimon Belevi, on the other hand, thought that this is a lachatchila. Yaakov tries as much as he can not to hurt civilians, not to hurt people, even though they are in Esav's camp. Maybe they weren't out to hurt him. And that is my basic feeling. There is no heter to kill civilians. However, if those civilians, even indirectly, unintentionally, by coercion, put our people into jeopardy with all the pain and torment we have to fight and destroy the enemy. An additional possible source, Shmuel Aleph Perek Tesvav, when Shoel fights the Pelishtim, ויהי משול על הקני לחו סורו רדו מתוכו המלאכי פלו יספחו אימוי ויעתו עשית חסד עם כל בני ישראל בעלותם ממצרים ויוס הקני מתוך המלאכי. ישוע פות מלחמס המולק. However, he turned to the people of Cana, warning them, leave your homes, leave your neighborhoods. I am going to destroy Amalek. And they did leave. So maybe this is the source of Israeli conduct. Before we attack a residential area, there are emails and SMSs and phone calls going out to the residents of that area, pleading with them, leave your homes, leave the neighborhood, because we are going to attack. There is a new custom in the Israeli army, which is called Hakesh Bagag, a tap on the roof. And before major bombing is executed, the army sends tiny little missiles that do not cause death, could not destroy binyans, but just it's like tapping on the door, warning them, leave your homes. There is nothing more we can do. And therefore, in this situation, I think there would be a very clear heter in hurting civilians, even innocent ones. That is my basic feeling in accordance to what I said above. So if we can, we need to salvage the civilians, and that is exactly what Shaul does when he pleads with the Cani, leave the city. Suru redu metoichu amalek. But from the pasuk, it seems to be obvious that this is lefnei Yeshua Sadin. Va'ata osisu chesed kol bnei Yisrael ba'arotam mitzrayim. However, maybe Shaul says that le'rav chedemilza, but I imagine that Shaul would say the same, even though they did not do chesed. One more source dealing with the same question. Divrei Hayom Malach Perek Chof Beis. ויהי אולי דבר השם לאמור, דם לרוב שופכתו ומלחומס גדולוס עשיסו, לא תבנה בית בשמי, כי דומם רבים שופכתו, ארצו לפניי. דוד המלך so much wanted to build the base of Mikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, you spilled too much blood, you cannot build the base of Mikdash. Shloime Bincho, your son Shloime, he will build the base of Mikdash. The Radak on the spot explains what is David's transgression. Damim l'roiv shufach. David waged war on Eretz Yisrael, and maybe in this war he killed people that were innocent. That is what would trouble him. גם בדמי הגויים אשר שופך עויסם שלא היו בני מלחם תויב ששיו בבנשים טובים וחסידים ואף על פי כן לא לרע שלהם כי כוונו של אחד עשר השורם שלא יפרצו בישראל ולהציל את עצמו כשהיה בארץ פלישתים. But nevertheless, he spilled blood, he cannot build the base of English. On one hand, the Radak explains very clearly, David had no aveira. He had no aveira. He was not required or demanded to take the risk. He fought battles. But nevertheless, maybe he did destroy individuals, righteous individuals, innocent people, and therefore, domem l'roiv shufachto, you cannot build the base amin. And I think this source, this adak, once again brings us back to the basic conclusion. Killing individuals, innocent, simple citizens who aren't warriors, who aren't fighting in the opposite camp, is a transgression. When there's no other option, it would be permissible. But we definitely need to try not to jeopardize the life of innocent individuals. I think that these are the major relevant sources. I would like to share with you some ideas. I said this week in my coil. I expressed most of these ideas a week ago. I just want to reiterate. We B'nai Torah, we argue every day. We don't go to the army. Because Jews are successful in battle only in the schus of Torah and Tefillah. And this is our firm and unshakable conviction. This is something we believe as we believe in HaKadosh Baruch. However, this is also a tremendous responsibility. As the French say, noblesse oblige. Nobility is an obligation. If you really believe that your Torah makes the difference, and in the merit of your Torah, Israel will be victorious, that means you gotta learn Torah, and you need to make a special effort. So this week I spoke to yeshiva boys, and it's almost ben hazmanim. Any of the yeshivas, they're planning the summer camps, but in Gaza, they're not planning summer camps. And those gallant young Israeli soldiers who put their life on the line are not planning summer camps. They are fighting with Mesiras Nefesh in grave danger. So if we really believe that our Torah will make the difference, we should be fighting as well. We should be fighting Malchamta Shel Torah. We should be learning day and night, Vahogisa Bayomam Valayla. So I really can understand a person in these testing times of war, in these difficult times of trial and tribulation. How could one be Mevatel Torah? How could you be Mevatel Torah when in the back of your mind you know and you believe that your Bittel Torah could cost Jewish lives? And your Hasmoda B'Torah could make the difference in saving Jewish lives. So in these very special times, I call upon all my Talmidim and anybody that listens to me. We need to do more. More Hasmoda, more Amala Torah, and more Tefillos. And using the language of Chazal, אם לומד דף אחד ילמוד שתי דפים, אם למד שעה אחד ילמוד שתי שעות. We need to do more. So let us hope that peace will once again come to Eretz HaKodesh. ושמחס עולם ליושביה. We should all know בסוידס טויבס ישועס ונחומס. Our enemies should have a מפלה. And our children should be victorious. שהקודש ברוך יהיה לכם על פלי תסמר בישראל and he should send to us משיח צדקנו במהרו ביומנו אמן